The boy's horse jigged nervously on the plaza's flagstones as he dismounted, flourished the sword, and turned to face the distant enemy. "He certainly looks confident," Vimes told himself. "On the other hand, how does the ability to slay dragons fit you for kingship in this day and age?" It was certainly a very shiny sword, you had to admit that. And now it was 2 o'clock the following morning, and all was well apart from the rain. It was drizzling again. There are some towns in the multiverse which think they know how to have a good time. Places like New Orleans and Rio reckon they not only know how to push the boat out, but set fire to the harbour as well. But compared to Ankh-Morpork, with its hair down, they're a Welsh village at 2 p.m. on a wet Sunday afternoon. Fireworks banged and sparkled in the damp air over the turbid mud of the River Ankh. Various domesticated animals were being roasted in the streets. Dancers congered from house to house, often managing to pick up any loose ornaments while doing so. There was a lot of quaffing going on. People who in normal circumstances would never think of doing it were shouting, "Hurrah!" Vimes stalked gloomily through the crowded streets, feeling like the only pickled onion in a fruit salad. He'd given the rank the evening off. He wasn't feeling at all royalist. He didn't think he had anything against kings as such, but the sight of Ankh-Morporkians waving flags was mysteriously upsetting. That was something only silly subject people did in other countries. Besides, the idea of royal plumes in his hat revolted him. He'd always had a thing about plumes. Plumes sort of, well, bought you off, told everyone that you didn't belong to yourself, and he'd feel like a bird. It'd be the last straw. His errant feet led him back to the yard. After all, where else was there? His lodgings were depressing, and his landlady had complained about the holes, which, despite much shouting, Errol kept making in the carpet, and the smell Errol made. And Vimes couldn't drink in a tavern tonight without seeing things that would upset him even more than the things he normally saw when he was drunk. It was nice and quiet, although the distant sounds of revelry could be heard through the window. Errol scrambled down from his shoulder and started to eat the coke in the fireplace. Vimes sat back and put his feet up. What a day, and what a fight. The dodging, the weaving, the shouts of the crowd, the young man standing there looking tidy and unprotected, the dragon taking a deep breath in a way now very familiar to Vimes, and not flaming. This had surprised Vimes. It had surprised the crowd. It had certainly surprised the dragon, which had tried to squint at its own nose and clawed desperately at its flame ducts. It had remained surprised right up to the moment when the lad ducked in under one claw and thrust the sword home. And then a thunderclap. You'd have thought there'd have been some bits of dragon left, really. Vimes pulled a scrap of paper towards him. He looked at the notes he'd made yesterday. Item. Heavy dragon, but yet it can fly right well. Item. The fire may be hot, yet issueth from an living thingy. Item. The swamp dragons be right poor thingies, yet this monstrous form waxeth full mightily. Item. From whence it cometh none know, nor whither it goeth, nor where it bideth between times. Item. Why for did it burneth so neatly? He pulled the pen and ink towards him, and in a slow round hand added, Item. Can a dragon be destroyed into utterly nothing? He thought for a while and continued. Item, why for did it explode, that no one may find it, search they greatly? A puzzler, that. Lady Ramkin said that when a swamp dragon exploded, there was dragon everywhere. And this one had been a damn great thing. Admittedly, its insides must have been an alchemical nightmare, but the citizens of Ankh-Morpork should still have been spending the night shoveling dragon off the streets. No one seemed to have bothered about this. The purple smoke was quite impressive, though. Errol finished off the coke and started on the fire irons. So far this evening he had eaten 3 cobblestones, a doorknob, something unidentifiable he found in the gutter, and, to general astonishment, 3 of cut-me-own-throat sausages made of genuine pork organs. The crunching of the poker going down mingled with the patter of rain on the windows. Vimes stared at the paper again and then wrote, Item, how can kingies come of nothingy? He hadn't even seen the lad close to. He looked personable enough, not exactly a great thinker, but definitely the kind of profile you wouldn't mind seeing on your small change. Mind you, after killing the dragon, he could have been a cross-eyed goblin for all that it mattered. The mob had borne him in triumph to the patrician's palace. Lord Vetinari had been locked up in his own dungeons. He hadn't put up much fight, apparently, just smiled at everyone and went quietly. What a happy coincidence for the city that, just when it needed a champion to kill the dragon, a king came forth. Vimes turned this thought over for a while, then he turned it back to front. He picked up the quill and wrote, "Item, what a happy chance it be for a lad that would be king, that there be a dragon to slay to prove beyond doubt his bony fidus."